Tzaraim Tovim, everybody. Okay, so this is to pick up where we left off last night with the case of the bouncing tzedakah check, and these two gentlemen showed up to Beis Din.
Gentlemen?
Yeah, well, not so gentle, but whatever. So the gvir wants his money back, and the yeshiva says, go fly a kite. So that's where we're holding, and the question that you know, we had to discuss is, technically, he did a ma'aseh, a very strong action of giving the guy a $50,000 check. Now, if there was no history, you give a guy a check, that's it. But over here, circumstantially, the guy is tining. He says, wait a second, you know, you pressured me and you acted like a behemoth, and that's why I gave you this check from such a, you know, an inactive account, and I bounced it on you, was supposed to bounce at least, until you did that. So we said yesterday, if you remember, the first tzad to be able to be motzi mamon was based on the chiluk. You remember we spoke about yesterday, the Bach and the Avnei Nezer there was a stira both in the Tur and in the Rambam in two different places. They were mechalek between regular and super umdenot. And without question, now again, circumstantially, if you look at the you know, you look at the situation globally, everything is pointing. It's not just, oh, maybe he just happened to have bounced it. There's no maybes here. It's very, very clear. You remember like the Rambam's case in Pirekaf Minchot Sanhedrin based on the Gemara, the Shimon ben Shatach case with the sword dripping blood. And the Rambam says that were that to be by Mamonot, then you'd be Motzi Mamon. This case is a sword dripping blood. There's no other reason. So that's one. Nevertheless, the only issue is that the Magid Mishneh on that Rambam disagrees with that premise, and he says even with a super umdena, a person wouldn't be able to be motzi mamon. He proves it from a case in Hilchot Shvuot. It's too much of a tangent right now, and therefore that svara would not have been enough to be motzi mamon, because anytime there's a machloket, if Maran says something, now let me tell you, in the majority of bidding cases, if something's cut and dry in Shulchan Aruch, that's the end of the case. But not always do you have that. So what you do in Choshen Mishpat is that you look through the poskim and what they say. Now, against the Shulchan Aruch, you can't say a kimli. Kimli means when the machzik, right, the defendant says, well, I hold like the other side. If there's a machloket between Maran and a different posik, and Maran paskins that you got to pay, you can't say, well, I hold like the other. You cannot do a kimli. Kimli means I hold like that opinion. You can't do that because Maran is Maran. There's actually a tshuva, interesting tshuva. You should see it at some point. Tshuva in Yabi Omer Chelek Zayin in Choshen Mishpat, where he discusses what happens. This is all great if the two litigants, let's say they're Sfaradim. Okay? But what happens if you have a Baal Din, one of them is Sfaradi, and one of them is Ashkenazi, and Maran says one thing, and the Rama says the other thing. Can I say, let's say I have a din Torah against me with an Ashkenazi. You ready? And Maran says I have to pay. But the Rama says I would be patur. No. Let's go for a second. Ashkenazim go like Maran, and the Sfaradim go like Maran, and Ashkenazim go like Rama. So now I'm saying, okay, if you were Sfaradi like me, then I hear a taina. But can I say, well, you're Ashkenazi, and according to the Rama, I'm Patur, so I hold like the Rama in this case. It's machloket haposkim, whether I can do that. It's interesting, interesting shaila.
Are we just trying to use poskim to our advantage here, or are we trying
to? That's exactly what Choshen Mishpat is all about. Exactly that. Why? You know, why does kimli even work? What is it, a game? The answer is, hotza'at mamon is so severe, taking out money unnecessarily and incorrectly from somebody else is so severe that Chazal will do anything in their power to keep, you know, ha'amid mamon b'cheskato, keep the money where it is. Unless Maran says something miforash, unless the Rambam says something miforash. So over here, since there's a machloket haposkim b'da'at Rambam, the Rambam doesn't say miforash that umdena can be motzi mamon. There's definitely a stira there. Davne Nezer goes one way. The Magid Mishneh goes a different way. So therefore, the other litigant would be able to say kimli that I hold, like the Magid Mishneh, and others, that according to the Rambam, you wouldn't be able to be motzi mamon based on umdena, so the yeshiva keeps it. However, there's another tziruf that we can use here. There's a famous Maharik, Rabbeinu Yosef Kolon. He was at the end, he was really, really at the very beginning of the Tkufa of the Acharonim. He was a very, very late Rishon / early Acharon. Maran in the Beit Yosef always quotes him as a Rishon. He quotes the Maharik all the time. If you look in Shelot Tuchvot Maharik, Shoresh Kuf Chavtet, he asks a question on this Gemara. You remember Baba Batra, Dav Tzadik Gimel. Tell me the case yesterday again with the Shor. Yeah, what was the case? Jump in.
We know he got gored.
Yeah.
Show that we know tends to gore.
Yeah.
So we said there's no moon, and we think we.
But we didn't see what happened.
Yeah.
So what's the halacha?
He said that we can't be moon.
It's a machlokes amoraim. We hold the halacha like the Rabbanan that you can't be motzi mamon based on umdina. Okay, and that's the psak in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tavchet. Fine. The Maharik says, oh really? We're not motzi mamon based on umdina. He brings at least six cases throughout Shas that were motzi mamon based on umdina. Ready? Watch. I'm not going to tell you all six. I'll give you a few. Let's start with Baba Batra. We're already there. Yeah, ready? The Gemara says in Baba Batra, Dafkuf la Medvav. Hashomer shemit beno, v'katav kol nechasav la'acherim. A person bar minan, he hears that his son died. And he says, okay, no, I don't have any other yorshim, so what does he do? He starts writing his property, gifting his property to all sorts of other people. Kinyani makol. He gave everything away. And then people come and they say, oops, we made a mistake. Baruch Hashem, od Yosef chai. Yeah. B'chiyu moshel b'chol eretz Mitzrayim. Yeah. Your son is still alive. Now the guy says, yes, my son is still alive. That's thought number one. Thought number two is?
His items.
Yeah. So, what's the halacha? Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya, chozer b'matana. You're able to be chozer. Go get back all the stuff. Amar Rav Nachman, halacha k'Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya. Stop. He didn't make any stipulation, anything with him. What's the only way to be motzi mamon over there? Why would we say he gets it back? Because what's the svara?
Umdina.
We understand, and everybody understands, very, you know, it's clear that he only gave it away because he thought his son died. But once that's away, you take it back. What's that? Umdina motzi mamon, number one. Fast forward.
It's the higher level one, right?
Huh? Yeah. Baba Batra, Kuf Memvav. The Gemara says, Shchiv Mera shekatav kol nechasav la'acherim. Person, it's Mishnah. Person's on his deathbed. He thinks he's about to die. What does he do? He says, okay, I'm dying anyway. He writes all his stuff. He gifts everything away to everybody else. Bekinyanim ve'akol. Ve'amad. He gets back up. There's a difference whether he, let's say he gets healthy again. Now, the Mishnah says that there's a difference between matana b'miktzat and matana b'chula, which means he didn't give away only a portion. He gave away mamash, everything. And then he gets better. What's the halacha? Im amad chozer. Even though he didn't stipulate nothing. If he gets back up, if he's healed, he gets everything back. Hey, wait a second. He didn't make any tna'im. He didn't say anything. Rather, once again, the strong assumption is that when a shchiv mera on his deathbed writes all of his properties, gifts them away, that's because he's under the assumption that he's going to die. If he doesn't die, he gets everything back. Umdina motzi mamon. Shall we do another one? Ktubot, ayin tet. The Gemara gives, this is all the Maharik. The Gemara says, Masechet Ktubot daf ayin tet. Anybody ever hear of a shtar mavrachat? Lady, she has a daughter. She's looking for a zivug sheni. She wants to get remarried, but she's, I don't know, is it going to work out? Is it not going to work out? She knows that if she gets married, any property that a woman owns, that if she gets married, what's the halacha with that property?
It goes to the man.
Depends how it's written in the ketubah, nichsetzon barzeh, nichsa milog, but to a certain extent, at least a portion of it belongs to the baal. Now she says, I don't, she's not even confident how this is going to work out. She doesn't want to bring it into her husband or whatever it is. She writes a shtar that gives all of her property to her daughter. So, anyway, apparently, she was right. She got married to the second guy and she got divorced. After the divorce, she comes back to her daughter. She says, I'd like my property back. The daughter says, Mom, I love you, but no, you gave it to me, Mamatana. Shalom. What does Gemara say? Chozeret. She gets back all the property. Because once again, we understand that the only reason she gave her property to the daughter was in order to circumvent it, you know, to avoid the property going to the Baal. What's that? She didn't make any tna'im in the matana. Umdina, motzi mamon. Ready for another one? Watch. Mm-hmm. Kiddushin, right? Last year? Who owns Kiddushin? Kiddushin Memtet. The Gemara brings down a story that Amochir Nechasav Ada'ata La'alot Le'eretz Yisrael. Yeah, a person, you're having a conversation. Yeah, I'm telling you, I have plans for Aliyah. By the way, you want to buy my house? So, Seder. I sell you my house, I call Beseder. Unfortunately, the Aliyah plans fall through. I come back, I say, I want my property back. I say, what are you talking about? Final sale, get lost. What's the halacha?
Chozer.
I didn't make it tonight. Umdina. Yeah, if that's the case, it's an umdina. So what's pshat? The Maharik is saying, what in the world is the Gemara telling me in Bava Batara Dav Tzadigim al V'chen Nifsak that umdina is not motzi mamon? You have all of these cases of umdina being motzi mamon. So what's up with that? Shela chazaka meod. Maharik. And he gives this earth-shattering yesod, just like the poskim we spoke about yesterday gave a yesod. Right, this is very lumdish. Between two types of umdenot, the Maharik gives another yesod to differentiate between another two kinds of umdenot. Ready? Watch. He says there's yesh lachkor. Ready? Tzvei dinim. Two kinds of umdenot. There's one kind of umdena that's mevarer mitziut. I don't know what happened. Comes the umdena and tells me this happened. Then there's an umdena that's not mevarer mitziut, rather it's mevarer kavana. I know what happened. I'm trying to figure out why it happened. Says the Maharik, here's the rule. When it's an umdena levarer mitziut, that's not enough leotzi mamon. When it's an umdena levarer kavana, that is what the shas means, that you are motzi mamon. Time out. Well, let's start this way. By the case of the shor, what kind of umdena is that? Levarer what?
Mitziut.
You don't know what happened. That's why over there, you're not motzi mamon, says the Maharik. But in all the other cases, shtar mavrachat, kotem nechasav la'acharim kishashama shemit bino, all these different things, we know exactly what happened. There was a sale, there was a matana, we know exactly what happened. We just don't know what the kavana was. Comes in umdina to be mevarir kavana that it was only because of this and only because of that, and when that reason falls apart, you could be motzi mamon based on the umdina, shrecha. Now that being said, more protein. Now he says, now, says, oh, protein is good. Now, gives koach. Most guys in yeshiva, I'll tell you the truth, I'm one of them when I was in yeshiva, still now, I'm not a raya. They don't eat properly. You have to eat kmosh tzarich. Like the Rambam says to. No, forget about that. That's for sure not. I'm saying just the quality of what you eat. Eat the most, you know, the most you should eat are plant-based vegetables and proteins. Okay, the Rambam says meforash in Ilchot Deot, vegetables, whatever, that you see the most of. Proteins, beans and stuff like that, plant-based proteins are very, very, they're absorbed, super absorbed into the bodies, mitzuyan. Next after that is land-based proteins, meaning like animals and stuff like that. Meat, cheeses, eggs, things, huh? Chicken also, yeah, those are also good. The least you should be eating of is carbs. Because carbs in general, even the body turns, you know, carbs turn into sugar. And sugar is not so good for the body. And that's what the Rambam says meforash, to eat in this way. And usually in yeshiva, not only in yeshiva, I'm just saying, but in general, today's diets are mamash afuch. You have the least vegetable, you have, you know, a lot of side dish, if it's a rice, fries, or a bit pastas, and then you have a protein. Carbs don't give koach. Carbs give only temporary energy. You know that. The body turns that into energy, turns it into starches, into sugars to feed the mitochondria of the cells, and then the body crashes quickly. You know what gives you the most energy long term? That's the protein. Anyway, Bekitzer, it's... Tegilayim. Anyway, Bekitzer... Yeah, no. I think if the Rambam would see the what and the way we eat today, he'd freak out.
He'd freak out about a lot of things.
That is true.
Let's be real.
Dairy? Sparingly. What does he say about meat? Look what the Rambam says about specially salted meats. Forget it. Processed meats, the Rambam says, him samamavit laguf. Anyway, bekitzer, you know, like all those jerkies and all those, you know, salted nitrates, whatever. Listen, you do the best you can, you know what I'm saying? I'm not, enjoy life, that's great, you know what I'm saying? But. Oh, you mean like while you're killing them? Now, bekitzer, I'm just saying, you know, a lot of things. You got to be active a little bit. Make sure you know, do some sort of exercise. Walk, jump, run, mashu, just to keep yourself pa'il. I had a doctor used to tell, when I was in yeshiva, you know, in yeshiva you sit for long periods of time during the day. It's good. It's good for the body and it's good for the mind. Every half an hour or so, get up just to get the circulation. Stand up, stretch, something so that you're not in the same, you know, position for too long at a time. Zelotov. Turns your mind off also. You can notice if you stand up, you stretch, whatever, you get a little bit more energy, you sit down, you have more clarity of mind. It's an interesting thing. Anyway, Mikol Makom, so the Maharik explains that that's the difference between the two kinds of umdenot. Shor, varer mitziut, that doesn't work. Now let's go back, in our case with the check, what kind of umdena do we have? Mitziut or kavana? Mitziut, we know exactly what happened. Mitziut, the guy gave him a check. We want to know what the guy meant when he gave the check. According to this, now again, you have a stira between the cases in Shas, whether umdina is motzi mamon or not, and the Maharik has this gorgeous yesod to be mechalek between the two umdinot. This would fit right into the Maharik's rubric of umdina levarir kavana, which would be sufficient leotzi mamon according to this in this situation. Now, that's another tziruf. There's one more that's really an interesting thing. Let's revisit the Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Mem Tet for a second. The Gemara tells a story. The Gemara says that there was a guy that sold his property al da'at to go to Eretz Israel, but nobody knew about it. He didn't talk about it. He didn't make a tanai, nothing. He knew he wanted to make aliyah. Yeah, I knew myself. I sold you my property, and then my plans fell through. And then I come and say, oh, by the way, I only sold it because I meant to go to Eretz Israel and fell through. I'd like my property back. They came before Rava. What did Rava say?
Well, no.
What did he say?
That's not a good umdina. That's not an umdina. Dvarim
shebalev inam dvarim. That's not even an umdina. Yeah? He says, nobody, you didn't make a tnai. You didn't talk about it. Nobody knew about it. That's called dvarim shebalev. Lech mipo. Yeah, that was that. Stop. Shilte geborim. Agon Rabbi Yoshua Boaz. On that gemara, right? The Shilte geborim is on the reef. On that sugiya, he quotes the Riaz. Rabbeinu Yishaya Acharon Zal. Why would he be called Acharon? Lama Acharon? Yes, there's got to be a Rishon. If there's an Acharon, right, by Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kavyachon, the Pasuk says, Ani Rishon v'ani Acharon, u'mibal adayin Elohim, Kadosh Baruch Hu says. Yeah, Kadosh Baruch Hu is both Rishon v'Acharon. But human beings, he can only be either Rishon or Acharon. His grandfather, Rabbeinu Yishaya Ditrani HaRishon. The grandson, Riaz, right, lechalek between the two Yishayas, Rabbeinu Yishaya, Acharon, Zal. People mistakenly say it's Rabbeinu Yishaya or Zarua. Shekir, lo nachon. Acharon, Zal. Anyway, Kitzer, he quotes him as saying, that Gemara that says that you lose, you cannot, we say Dvarim Shebalev by the case of, what's his name, by the case of when you didn't say anything about going to Eretz Israel, that's only by a mekach. That's only by a sale. What if it was bimatana? Yeah, meaning, let's say I have my own personal plans, nobody knows about it, to go to Israel. Yeah, to make aliyah. As a result, I love Yuval so much, I'm not even going to sell to him. I give you my whole property, bimatana. And then my plans fall through, I want it back. Says the Riaz, Chozer. Why? He says, because by mekach, there's kabbalat ma'ot. Over there, there is a person's gomer bedaato. There's gmirut ha-da'at, smichut ha-da'at. When you got mamon, final. By matana, I didn't get any mamon. The matana is for free. And therefore over there, says the Riaz, even be'umdena kolderu, even with a super low grade, nobody knows about it kind of umdena, chozer. The Rama, in Choshen Mishpat, Siman Resh Zayin, quotes the Shilte Giborim and Riaz, להלכה. ובי מתנה, even umdana kol do would work. רבותיי, by our check, was that a mechen or matana? It's a matana. Even if you want to consider, it is a high grade umdana, but even if you wanted to consider it a low grade one, according to this, shilte giburim riaz, piskere kanati, the Rama, according to all of them, it would be considered enough to be motzi mamon. Stop, time out. The guy can say, oh yeah, there's a knista gdola on the spot, in choshen mishpat, siman, resh, zayin, who quotes the Maharash, Rabbeinu Shlomo, who says meforash, that he disagrees. He says, no. If the Chachamim said that by Mechir, which is more powerful in Halakha? Where is there more Gmiru Da'at? By Mechir or by Matana?
Mechir.
Nope. He says Matana, because the Gemara says, at least according to the Rabbi Akiva that we paskin like, Notin, when a person gives a Matana, Notin Matana be'ayin yafahu Notin. When a person gives it, you know, whenever you sell something, you're not always 100% at peace with it. Sometimes you need the money, whatever. But when you give a gift, are you at peace with it? Obviously. Otherwise, you wouldn't give it. You give it generously. So he says, if we say by mecher that dvarim shebalev, so too by matana. Kal vachomer by matana. Stop. So can the other guy say, the yeshiva say over here, there's a matana, I hold like the knista gdola. Kimli. But over here, they can't use the knista gdola for, you know, for artillery. Why is that? Because his svara is notin be'ayin tova. When a person gives, he gives generously. When this guy, when the gvir gave the check, that's not be'ayin yafa. That's not giving it generously. That's giving it with the epitome of ayin ra'ah. I'm just trying to kiss you. And therefore, be'emet, with all of these ta'anot, you put it all to, each one has a little bit of a machloket, but when you put all these tzirufim together, the bedin paskin, the be'emet, the yeshiva has to forfeit. They have to give back the eight was their own money, but the 42,000 that they took away from the guy, Betim Paskind, that he has to give back. And they also gave Musar to the fundraiser. They said, you can't, even when you're a fundraiser and you're raising money for a yeshiva, a shul, whatever, you have to be a mensch. You can't act predatory. You know what I'm saying? You're not, you can't act like a bema. You gotta be a mensch. Gotta be yashar. Okay. It's not in your money to raise. You have to try. It's not in your money whether or not, not in your hands whether you're going to get the money. So that's that was the psak over there. Any questions before we call it a day? Yeah.
Why was it lechatchila asur for him to do it? Like you said, like for sure, there's no way that lechatchila
yeah.
He was able to do it. Why not?
Like, because it's very clear that when the guy bounced the check on him, that he doesn't want to give. Plus, he did something illegal.
I'm saying like him like sitting there like a leech. Why
that's all. That's predatory. You can't do that. You can't force somebody to give you tzedakah. That's that. Not only that, the second part of that, I don't know if you heard the second part of the story, is that he found out how much was missing in the account, and it's illegal. You can't do that. Tov rabotai, slacha.